on passengers, Plot 180, presuming a film soundtrack motif, the plot must have done a 180 at that point in the non-existent film for which this is a soundtrack, something Eno is noted for. He had one of the early ambient albums, maybe the fourth or fifth one, was called Music for Films, and then he did part two of that, and it's like, well, you know, it's kind of pieces with a slightly incomplete feeling. These are quite complete for film soundtrack type of things, for film score, but the Music for Films has that kind of open-ended quality to it. And the second one, he said, was just some projects he was working on that he swept together and made into an album. And I think they're all great fun and worth finding, worth getting. I think you'll want to go on. I mean, I don't know. I don't know your mindset. If you listen to Planet Waves FM, perhaps you have something in common with my musical taste. But what I like about Eno's solo work is that it doesn't ask anything of you, and then it gives you a lot in return. And so it is the kind of thing you can just leave on for a month while you drive, and it remains interesting. A good starting point for Eno is a album with words. It's not an ambient album, but it really is just beautiful from the first note to the last, called Another Green World. And then for getting into the ambient genre, I have two recommendations, the same pieces, Music for Airports, there's Eno's version, which is electronic entirely, and then some virtuosos called Bang on a Can scored the thing. It was never supposed to be a score, but this is what you can do if you have that kind of musical ability. And then they redid it as a cover, which they would then perform live. And it's kind of like the original, only better. And that's Bang on a Can's version of Music for Airports. So here we are in the Tantra Studio, week 2 of 4, Masturbation Month. I didn't announce at the top of the program I'm not doing a full show on Friday, but I will do week 3 of 4 of Tantra Studio. So that will be it, and then I'll bind them together on a player. There's a few different places to find Tantra Studio, old ones, but this group I will keep on its own. And the tradition comes out of the 1990s. It's partly an outgrowth of concerns about HIV infection. Now that I understand that, I get that we were all duped. I know, you know, this might sound more outrageous if you weren't looking at the actual science, if you were only thinking that someone you could trust on the science were telling the truth about it. Well, you might think there's a great theory, but no. Anyway, but one of the good things that came out of the kind of HIV/AIDS era were Jack and Jill offs. And a lot of these were co-ed, meaning men and women. And then there's various places where women get together with women and men get together with men and play in this fashion. Most of the ones I've participated in or convened were co-ed, though I did twice go to a famous club in New York called New York Jacks, which was like this male masturbation meeting that went on probably for about 40 years. I heard about it in the early 90s from my old friend Richard Levitt, and it had been going on for a long time. And then I finally got there in like 2016, 2017, maybe something like that, 2018, obviously pre-quote COVID unquote. And it wasn't that much fun without women, but it could have been. But the thing that was missing for me was the emotional resonance that I feel with women. A kind of a biotelepathy and possibly a pheromone experience. Now, I've had some awesome sexual experiences one-on-one with men, but in this, and it was New York Jacks was not exactly a class outfit either. I mean, I would have put it in like a more plush hotel suite with libations and things like that. This was like practically in a warehouse, Anyway, so whatever. All kinds, all varieties of this. And anyway, where to find a Jack and Jill off now? Can't tell you. Even how to look, Craigslist is not doing this anymore. The last really great one I found was at Decadence in New York City on 7th Avenue above Dunkin' Donuts. And I found that on Craigslist right before they killed the personals on Craigslist. So open question. And if you have ideas for how to find an existing one, I'd love to hear from you, efc@bookofblue.com. And of course, you can always create them. And then, of course, you can just create one with yourself or one or two friends. All right, so here's a little poetry for you. It is from Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman. And he writes, way long ago, this is like, it's almost 200 years ago. I think this comes out in, he's 35, he's born in 1819, so it's like 180 years ago. And he writes, these are the first words the world ever sees from Walt Whitman. From Leaves of Grass, and this part of the poem is called Song of Myself. I celebrate myself, and what I assume you shall assume, for every atom belonging to me, as good belongs to you. I loaf and invite my soul, I lean and loaf at my ease, observing a spear of summer grass. Houses and rooms are full of perfumes, the shelves are crowded with perfumes. I breathe the fragrance myself, I know it, I like it. The distillation would intoxicate me also, but I shall not let it. The atmosphere is not perfume. It has no taste of the distillation. It is odorless. It is for my mouth forever. I'm in love with it. I will go to the bank by the wood and become undisguised and naked. I am mad for it to be in contact with me. The smoke of my own breath echoes, ripples, buzzard whispers, love root, silk thread, crotch and vine. My respiration and inspiration, the beating of my heart, the passing of blood and air through my lungs, the sniff of green leaves and dry leaves, and the shore and the dark-colored sea rocks, and of hay in the barn. The sound of belched words in my voice, words loosed to the eddies of the wind. A few light kisses, a few embraces, a reaching around of arms. The play of shine and shade on the trees as the supple boughs wag. The delight alone or in the rush of the streets or along the fields and hillsides. The feeling of health. The full moon trill, the song of me rising from bed and meeting the sun. Have you reckoned even 1,000 acres much? Have you reckoned the earth much? Have you practiced so long to read? Have you felt so proud to get at the meaning of poems? Stop this day and night with me, and you shall possess the origin of all poems. You shall possess the good of the earth and sun. There are millions of suns left. You shall no longer take things at second or third hand, nor look through the eyes of the dead, nor feed on the specters in books. You shall not look through my eyes neither, nor take things from me. You shall listen to all sides and filter them for yourself. I have heard what the talkers were talking, talk of the beginning and the end, but I do not talk of the beginning and the end. There never was any more inception than there is now, not more youth nor age than there is now, and never will be any more perfection than there is now, nor any more heaven nor hell than there is now. Urge and urge and urge, always the procreant urge of the world. I'm going to read that last six lines again. There was never any more inception than there is now, nor any more youth nor age than there is now, and will never be in any more perfection, and will never be any more perfection than there is now, nor any more heaven or hell than there is now. Urge and urge and urge, always the procreant urge of the world. Out of the dimness, opposite equals advance, always substance and increase, always a knit of identity, always distinction, always a breed of light. To elaborate is no avail. Learned and unlearned feel that it is so. Always a knit of identity, always distinction, always a breed of life. To elaborate is no avail. Learned and unlearned feel that it is so. Learned and unlearned, I think he means, feel that it is so. Sure as the most certain, plumb in the uprights, well entreated, braced in the beams, stout as a horse, affectionate, haughty, electrical, I and this mystery. Here we stand. Clear and sweet my soul, clear and sweet is all that is not my soul. Lack one, lacks both, and the unseen is proved by the seen, till that becomes unseen and receives no more proof in its turn. Uncle Walt, writing in the 19th century, resounding in the 21st century, language fresh as anyone you would hope to read who wrote this yesterday. There's no pedantic quality to this writing. There's no poetry, like, he's not working in rhymes. It's all just improvisational music. And he's talking about his experience of being alive. Physically alive, naked in the woods by the bank of a river. You soon find out about to masturbate. This is why this poem becomes scandalous. There were pamphlets and essays and controversies over whether it was scandalous. And he is now the best regarded poet, I think, in all of American literature. What can you say bad about him? It is simply beautiful, and he is writing with equal regard for women and for men. He is homosexual, but you get the feeling from his poems that he has experimented, and I wasn't his buddy, so I can't tell you exactly what. Maybe there's biographies, his long-term relationship was with a Confederate soldier, came back from the Civil War. I guess he was a nurse. He was also an editor. He founded a newspaper. He edited several newspapers. This is a guy who lived. And his poem, Song of Myself, begins with him naked in the woods, experiencing himself in this fusion with all of nature, experiencing himself as one and the same as all of nature. A self-complete entity, I think perhaps to the envy of many who would consider such a thing as possible. And who knows who can. Maybe you can. The theme of masturbation and Masturbation Month that I want to talk about is the question, is sex a substitute for masturbation? Now, the reason this is presumably a silly question is that we grow up with the idea that masturbation is a substitute for sex. We're told this, and it's insinuated, and we're told we're going to ruin sex by masturbating. You know, Betty Dodson thought she ruined her labia by masturbating when she hadn't done so at all. And so my question is, what if we turn this whole sex thing around and we imagine that sex begins as an experience of self-to-self relating, as an experience of individual being, and then what we discover in that exploration of individual being becomes the thing that we bring into relationships. And when we're not doing that, when we have not, you might say, sexually self-actualized, and had all the experiences that come with that, it is my observation that it is commonplace to seek all of that in relating to partners and to largely skip over the self. Now, not everyone does this. Some people are very adept self-explorers, though there's a lot of propaganda against this and against the meaning of it. And, you know, we've lived through centuries of negativity and horror stories. And as I read last week from Satan in Society, how this is just a sickness that needs to be cured. These things have a very strong psychic life and can be passed down the generations and are passed down the generations, along with all kinds of other, you know, bullshit, shame, and all of this piled on top of it for many reasons. And it all adds up to body shame. And then most humans, certainly Westerners, enter into their relationships with all of this kind of unprocessed, unintegrated stuff, and then try to have sexual relationships with each other, having not fully discovered who they are first. And so sex and sexual relationships certainly do provide a forum to find out about yourself, but if that's what you're doing and your partner is not necessarily on the same page, things can get messy because attachments can form and a whole unconscious process can take over, including various reproductive scripts. And then what I would call something other than self-exploration can happen, because the relationships can easily become quite entangled, and we're accustomed to this. So what if we started with sexual self-actualization? What if that were the thing that were cultivated? Kind of like marriage is cultivated in our culture, and girls wear purity rings. I don't know if they still must be doing it somewhere. Girls and boys can be wearing purity rings. where they commit to being virgins until marriage, which I have read according to a general accounting office study. That whole project sets aside, put sex off for 12 weeks, 12 whole weeks. And then there's more likely to be a mishap when the sex happens. And this is all because masturbation is dissuaded, considered a symptom of a kind. And we know that that's bullshit, because the thing about masturbation that makes it potentially controversial is that it is the closest form of sex you can get to pure sex for its own sake. And then in what could seem like paradoxical way, becomes self-relating. And so it becomes one of the most essential forms of self-relating that people can experience. There's a lot of paradoxes in sex and contradictions and things becoming their opposite. But let's say we were to take masturbation as a form of self-actualization and as a form of integrating various elements of one's psyche as a kind of initial step in conscious sexual development and initiation. We have no idea what this would be like on a cultural level, because there's just not that many people who were given positive ideas about masturbation as a young person who received any information, support, or encouragement from their parents. Not the teenagers want that. Obviously, this would have to happen much, much earlier than puberty. But what if people were taught somehow to be self-complete prior to getting involved in relationships? And then prior to relationships taking over as the self-completion experience, but which then very quickly lead away from that. It's hard to even conceive what that would be like. It starts to become possible when you encounter people who have what you might call a deep masturbation life, for whom their self-sex goes beyond a kind of a transient sensation and is guided into a journey, an inward journey of a full experience of getting to know yourself. Betty used to call this, well, actually, I'm not, you know, Cheryl, who you've heard on the show a few times, was describing it as pleasure autonomy. And the use of assisted masturbation as a means of helping people learn pleasure autonomy. Now, one of the challenges there is that most people are pretty darned sexually hungry, and who then is going to be the one doing the assisting? Who is the one who's going to be playing the role of Vesta or QB1, holding the space open? So this is either an intuitively arrived state. Some people just have it naturally. You know, you have those natural thresholders, or it can be learned and taught. And I've seen both enough times to know that both are possible, though I think that there is something of a natural gift involved in being really good at it, and not only being really good at it, but participating as a wholly, you know, open choice and conscious act. And so this, you know, requires not being jealous. It requires being incredibly honest. It requires being emotionally stable so that you can facilitate a kind of safety with people that is a genuine safety where they're not risking getting hurt in the kinds of ways that they typically get hurt in relationships because the conflicts of interest are removed. And the truth is that most people who learn this are going to end up learning it as adults, having been through a lot. And I think even the people with a natural gift for this are also going to embark on a long journey and arrive at a place of balance and where, let's say, the gift is fully realized after a lot of experience and experimentation. I will say that it's unlikely that there's a way to do this without open and intimate conversation, going deeper than I'm going now, because it would require being more personal and vulnerable. But this would be a starting baseline for how you might begin the conversation. You know, where do you start this? Well, you start with being able to share and feel safe doing so. And that is going to call for, I think, constantly stepping over the embarrassment that can come up and being willing to be with that embarrassment and also being comfortable being with other people's embarrassment, because in the case of being a thresholder or someone providing the occasion of assisted masturbation, much of what you are assisting people move through is their own embarrassment, and helping them, guiding them very gently into finding their center and finding their pleasure. I have some notes on what people seek sex for, just quick and dirty, a few minutes ago. So love comes up first because I think that this is the excuse for sex. However, I think that most sex, when it's good, is driven by erotic love, which is a form of what I would call friendly lust. Erotic love. Also, to experience sexual sensations, to explore another person's body, and to experience touch, including the touch of another person. You know, it's the unfamiliarity of another person's body that is often so exciting. And when you combine that with heterosexual experience, you've got the fact of another person and then the fact of a person of a different sex with this seemingly completely different type of body that does lots of different things than yours does. And so that's part of the adventure, releasing tension and exploring one's feelings. And you could say getting off, right? A lot of people go to sex to get off, to orgasm. We used to have a writer at Planet Wave named Maya Dexter. Her column was called Gen Exhibitionist. I should dust off those columns. There are some really great columns. And she said to me once, maybe she wrote it in a column, but I recall her saying it to me, if I had only known about masturbation as a teenager and as a young woman, I would not have had all those horrible hookups that like led me in all these different directions when all I really needed to do was masturbate. okay, I bet there's a lot of people who feel that way, especially if those, contacts without genuine respect and affection led to pregnancy or an STI or some other complication, right? And the truth is that there is a lot of territory to explore through self-sexuality as long as it is not taken away. And I would say that most of these things that people seek out sex for could easily be found in self-sex, but there's a kind of an ease that aesthetic and hormonal acceleration that happens with another person, same or opposite sex. I'm leafing back through my different experiences, and there's, I think, slightly different doorways into same-sex experiences and slightly and opposite-sex experiences, but for me, the door is wider with opposite sex, with women. So there's just this natural sexual fuel that's just like right there, easily accessed, burns quickly and nicely, and it's just like not as complicated an inner trip to get there. Hold that thought. I'm gonna mull that over for a bit and come back to that. When you've got something to express sexually, if you give yourself permission, it's pretty easy to go pretty far without the help of another person. I think that a lot of the help that another person provides is the resonance, the psychic contact, the excitement of being witnessed and of witnessing someone else, just seeing them, feeling them, experiencing them with your senses. And I'm proposing here that if this journey were taken inwardly and with oneself first, it would completely change our orientation when the opportunity for partner sex arrived. And as an adult, I have found that shifting my primary sexual orientation to self-sexuality has profoundly influenced my ideas about what all sexuality is and why I would want to connect with another person. And there is this vast, let's say, subtle area between self-sexuality, masturbation by oneself, and sharing with a partner, where all of those factors can start to come into the experience, but it's still masturbation. And it's kind of like chromatography, where you take what is a complicated morass of feeling and you start to experience it more as the rainbow of different emotions that it contains because of the discipline of holding space for one another's experience and not plunging right into the merge. Now, this is one of the great things about sex, is the total merge that can happen when it's working, when you've got the right partner and the moment is right and all that. But between the total merge and the total self-centered experience, there is this just delicious spectrum of experiences that can happen. And the benefit of those experiences is a very gradual quality of self-acceptance and self-actualization. And learning how to do that in the presence of another person, and from the other direction, learning how to set back just slightly and be a facilitator of another person's self-actualization without getting attached. And so this is one of the, let's say, factors that differs greatly between masturbation as sex and sex as sex, is that there's often an assumption that attachment is going to form through this root chakra bond and through the all the endorphins and the whatever dopamine and all these hormones and endorphins that run that create bonding, emotional biological bonding. I think this needs to be made into a kind of a structured teaching program. I have voluminous writing in Book of Blue, hundreds of experiences journaled, and probably somewhere around 200 audio essays or experiments, and decades of experience doing these things. But the thing that I haven't done is structure it into a, like, okay, experiment one, try this, have this conversation, some loose framework, experiment two, try this, experiment three, try this. I've done all the experiments, or lots and lots of the experiments, but I have not described it in, I guess, what would be considered a didactic format. What I've mostly written, and I have an essay that does, it's from the Journal of Bisexuality, and I will link to it. I know exactly where it is. It's sitting right in the documents folder on the internet. That does a little bit of this. Betty's work is a lot about solo exploration, and then she talks about the groups, but there's not a structured teaching process that I know of described anywhere in Betty's literature. So I'm giving myself a little project here, and it's somewhat of a rewrite project, because from the, like, kind of portfolio of experiences I've had, I've certainly got enough to describe the various, I think of them as mudras. They're ways to orient people psychically and physically to experiment. So one structure of a workshop is you have a group of people in a room, safe and secure place, everyone wants to be there, and then one person explores in front of the mirror with everyone around them holding space. And they can do whatever they want, but it's about them, and they get to expand into the freedom of being witnessed and honored and loved and supported in being exactly who they are and feeling exactly what they feel. Now, the group adds a dynamic to it that's not the same as when you're alone. Then soon after, you're alone, and then you have whatever experience you have alone. But in that group experience, there's this whole new dynamic. I mean, have you ever done this? Have you ever had an experiment like this where you've had 5 or 10 people watching you masturbate in front of a mirror? Well, I mean, I have, and I've done it with a wide diversity of people who came along with the experiment. It is an astonishing dimension of sexuality that opens up, and the emotional and psychic sensations and the physical experience that goes with them are as if from another planet. They're from a whole different dimension of sexual experience. It's like you can't even imagine that some of this is possible until you actually have the experience. Now, something like this is probably most easily available with couples who are already sexual, and maybe you're listening to this, or maybe you play it for someone, and you get that the idea is not about an experience that leads to sex with each other, but an experience of coupling that leads to sex with yourselves. And so therefore, the rules of touch are slightly different. There may not be any touch, or it might be on request only. I personally think that when witnessing or being witnessed, generally the less touch the better to facilitate a certain physical and emotional autonomy, and to work with that space for a while, to hold that space and see how far you can go in that space of physical autonomy and relating as closely as possible directly to yourself, and the support around you is empathic support, not stimulation, not physical stimulation in any way, right? Because it's the opposite of that I am suggesting is the direction of where this experience, this growth, this exploration, this inner opening can happen. And this does take discipline, and it does take experience. In one workshop I did at Harbin Hot Springs, I got Loving More, still doing conferences. This is under the old administration of Ryan Nearing and Brett Hill, to do the post-conference intensive as a masturbation workshop that basically went, I think the conference ended Sunday night, and then we had Sunday, late afternoon, evening, whatever socialization overnight, and then most of the day Monday, and the post-conference people left Monday at late afternoon. And in that one, I set up the mirror space, and then I spoke with all of the participants individually and found someone who was willing to do this, who was willing to be the subject or the model for the experience to get things going. And it was astonishing. It was one of the most beautiful sexual experiences I've ever had, facilitating a group of people just holding space for a woman exploring herself in the mirror. And the it was kind of arranged in a semicircle, and the people were 7 or 8 feet back, so there wasn't any crowding, but there was definitely a sense of containment and not a lot of talking. And this takes and teaches a kind of openness, a receptiveness, a willing to be present in a kind of a steady, it's not exactly a neutral space, but a steady space, and to practice what I think is the essence of all wholesome sexuality, which is compersion. Compersion is, if you look it up, it's going to say the opposite of jealousy, which is a terrible definition, because it's a universe. It's not just the opposite of something. It is an experience of absolute adoration and the most positive regard and empathy for another person's pleasure and experience. And without compersion, there is no polyamory. It's otherwise just a dysfunctional mess. There's no happy swinging, that is to say, sharing partners at parties or other situations. You've got to love your partner's pleasure to be able to share them. And this you know, might seem impossible, but the veil is thin. It does not take much to go through there. And when someone is having a jealous event or panic attack in some way, well, there needs to be some space holding for that. And this is one reason why in offering ideas about compersion, I suggest that couples start just with each other and open up, not in the sense of Bob and Judy are together and Judy's going to go out for a date with Jim and come back and tell the story while Bob stayed home the whole night. That can be harrowing unless you have a lot of experience or you think it's really hot. But rather, share masturbation with a very honest conversation about what you want. And it's all in the imagination. Now, that too can lead to all kinds of conversations that might not have happened and the revelation of things that might not have happened because most people keep a lot of sexual withholds from their partner. By which I mean they don't really disclose their attractions to other people. When you play this compersion game with your partner, that's the thing that you're disclosing, and it might be imaginary, it might be real people, it might be fantasy scenarios, and the partner doing the witnessing learns how to be open to any facet of the reality of their partner's psychic contents. Whatever is in them, whatever they think, whatever they want, whatever they dream of. It's difficult for me to assess how daring this is for people today. I've been out of, let's say, physical practice with others since groups of some kind or, Book of Blue projects, probably for 3 or 4 years. So I don't have any sense, 5 years, any sense of the landscape right now. I know that digital has really taken over. I know that Betty Dodson's successor is doing masturbation on Zoom. I don't really see the point of that. I don't see where there's enough openness, pheromone exchange, vulnerability to really have the inner experience. So what I would strongly suggest, setting up situations in person. And start slow and realize that it may be awkward in some ways at first. I think like any form of sex can be awkward at first. For whom isn't it, right? Unless you've got a really experienced person initiating an inexperienced person, I could see that, as happened to me in my first sexual experience, was not awkward at all. I was with a much older girl who had a lot more experience, and during the experience, I admitted that I was a virgin, and then she shifted modes and just became teacher of me exploring her body. I can't imagine a better loss of virginity scenario. Melissa, a absolutely beautiful soul. This is a long time ago. I was like 16 or 17. Normally, there's a lot more overlay and attachment, and the potential for intense jealousy and getting hurt. And I think that all of those things are avoidable and exchangeable for much, much better possibilities and experiences if we learn how to do this. And since we're talking about masturbation, the first thing any potential participant in such an experience needs to know is about their feelings, about their body, and what it does, and what it's capable of, and to be comfortable, entirely comfortable with the contents of your own psyche. And that comfort includes knowing how to work with emotions like guilt, shame, embarrassment, fear, and pain from previous encounters that did not go so well. And I would suggest that the first thing that one needs to do is just to observe them and be with them rather than try to fix them or run from them or hide them or smush them down under. So it all starts with you and your comfort level with yourself, and you're gradually learning, or if you are good at this, more power to you, but gradually learning how to turn what most people would call masturbation into having sex with yourself, real relational actual sex with yourself, and seeing where that leads you. It is all an experiment. I think the more intuitive, the better. So any such instructions I would give, ideas, concepts, frameworks, would leave a lot of room for here's how you make the space. Here's some basic approaches. Okay, here's how you make the space and then let something happen and see what happens. See what is there. And that is what I have to say to you here in week number 2 of the May 2022 Masturbation Month series. Cheryl will be on the program at some point soon. Got to have that conversation, see what comes up in that conversation. I think our theme is going to be pleasure autonomy and teaching how to teach people pleasure autonomy as an experienced person, which she is. Okay, so on this note, I leave you. I'm thinking about finding one of my audio experiments. So let's leave that open, either from the sound of my voice, bidding you good night. We will go into, well, the gleaming gem of Passengers is what Bono says is his favorite song, Miss Sarajevo. So either you'll hear one of the Book of Blue experiments into Miss Sarajevo, or you'll hear Miss Sarajevo. All right. So I'll be back the week of, what week is that? I guess it's going to be the 20th of May. I have committed to taking off every sixth week or so. But I have also committed to doing my Masturbation Month series. So in the spirit of doing both, I'll be back with Tantra Studio, good Lord willing, next week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting the program in the many ways that you do. And bye for now.
You are your lover.
Your existence is the one thing that you have, and you must be ready to give it up at any moment.
Surrender to life. Surrender to yourself.
Surrender to death.
Surrender to love.
I am my lover.
I make love to myself.
Look at me in that mirror.
I explore my vanity.
I explore my vanity.
You want to see me fuck myself.
You want to see me say yes to myself.
I love to fuck anyone I want.
Make love to yourself.
Anyone I want.
I am the woman who says yes.
Make love to yourself.
You must say yes to yourself.
I am the woman who says yes.
You are the only one
you
who
must
can say yes
to yourself.
I fuck you are the only one that can say yes to yourself.
I need love.
You I need to love yourself. I know what you do.
I need love.
I know what you give to
you
yourself.
You need to love yourself.
I know what you get from yourself.
I know what you do.
I know what you need.
I know what you give to yourself.
You want them
I know what
as
you
your
get
mirror.
From yourself.
I know
Both
what you need.
Are your mirror.
Everyone
you want
is
them
your mirror.
As your mirror.
Everyone is the great Eastern Sun.
Both are your mirror. Everyone is your mirror.
Everyone is the great Eastern Sun.
I know everything, and I'm here to just shine a light on everything that's dark inside of you.
No, you may not look at me in these
eyes. I see you. This is all. There is. You are all. There is.
Is she comes? Christmas trees.
Is there a time
for laying tables? And the night is set to freeze.